Job chapter 4, and you thought you had escaped the harvest, but we're talking about another one tonight, the one that you haven't seen before or heard before. It's different from the other harvest. And I want to read you maybe half a dozen or so scriptures, and all of them have to do with this special harvest that I'm going to tell you about tonight in the will of God. Job chapter 4. So keep in your mind about the harvest, sowing, reaping. So let's just see what it says. Job chapter 4 verse 8. According as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. You see this harvest? There's some people, not like farmers who go and sow seed, but there are some people that plow iniquity and sow trouble. Notice, they shall reap the same. Now Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Do you remember that song, bringing in the sheaves? This suggests, notice, they go forth weeping, bearing precious seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, chapter 12, 13. Here is a strange thing, something that absolutely contrary to all the laws of sowing and reaping we know. They have sown wheat and have reaped thorns. They have put themselves to pain and profit nothing. And you shall be ashamed of your fruits because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Notice this reversal. Sow wheat, reap thorns. Now chapter 51. And look at verse 33. Well, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. The daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor at the time when it is trodden. Yet a little while, and the time of harvest shall come for her. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me, and so forth. Verse 36. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause, and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her seed, and so forth. So look again at verse 33. The time of harvest shall come for her. Now, Hosea, chapter 6. Verse 4, listen to the subject. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? And look down at verse 10. In the house of Israel I've seen a horrible thing. There whoredom is found in Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, there is a harvest appointed for thee. Ephraim of the nation of Israel is the northern tribes. Judah, the southern tribes. Notice, Judah, there is a harvest appointed to thee. Chapter 8, verse 6. For from Israel is even this. The workman made it, and it is no God. Yea, the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they that sow the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. They sow the wind, they reap the whirlwind. Now chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap according to kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, for thou hast trusted in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Now in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 9, I hope your mind has been putting together all of these portions having to do with the one subject, the harvest, sowing, reaping. And look in chapter 9 at verse 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 10. And he that supplieth seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Ye being enriched in everything unto all liberality, which worketh through us thanksgiving to God. And now, Galatians 6, which is one that people are not aware of, but it is the Word of God. Galatians chapter 6. And look at verse 6. But that him that is called from the Word communicates, have fellowship, unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially toward them that are of the household of the faith. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we have seen that from of old, that I've spoken about harvest. They're harvest, things that spring up out of the earth and seeds we plant. But from the scriptures we've read, we see that there is another harvest, a moral harvest, that is related to the lives that we live, the things we say, the things we do. Our Father, how evident if we are farmers, if we sow seed, are we concerned about the harvest that shall come forth? Our God, let us be concerned as your creatures concerning the harvest that shall come up because of the lives that we have lived. Let us understand that one is as certain as the other. And thou hast told us in this multiplicity of scriptures about the spiritual harvest that is in store for the sons of men. So lay these truths to our hearts, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and empower the lips of him who speaks and prepare the hearts of those who hear to receive a blessing. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. A remarkable thing about the earthly harvest I've been telling you about the certainty of harvest if Israel were obedient to God. Think of this promise from God. God said to them, I want you to sow your land every year for 6 years. But when it comes to the seventh year, I want you to leave that land absolutely alone. Do nothing. And the people automatically have this question to arise in their mind. Well, what are we going to do for food? God said, I will so control the crop that you have sown that the harvest in the sixth year will feed you then, it will feed you the seventh year, and it will feed you until the eighth year when you plant your seed and bring in another harvest. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That God assures that a harvest that is sown, trusting Him, for the seventh year, the sixth year will bring forth such a crop that it shall ply them the sixth year, the seventh year, and the eighth year until the harvest at that season comes in. But now I showed you this, that in the physical realm, when man has been disobedient to God, he goes out and he sows a crop and he does not know what's going to come in. Sometimes it rains too much and the crop is destroyed. Sometimes there is a drought and the crop does not grow. You do not know what is going to happen to a physical crop that you plant. It's all in the hands of God, who is the God of nature, who controls the rain and the sun. So you do not know what's going to happen. But for Israel, it was a certainty that if they trusted God, He would control the wind and the rain and the sunshine, and He would cause that crop to come forth. Well, alas, this is what is so sad. That whereas man, when he works in the spiritual realm, I say, this is sad, that he can be absolutely certain concerning the crop that he's going to reap. You say, what do you mean? Well, in the physical realm, even the Lord Jesus, and remember this, the Lord Jesus sowed seeds. You remember, some fell by the wayside, some fell upon stony ground, and some fell upon the thorn, and no fruit came forth. The Lord Jesus himself, in the spiritual realm, when he sowed, was only successful when the seed fell in the good soil and brought forth fruit. So in the spiritual realm of service to God, if the Lord Jesus had no certainty as to what the harvest would be, how can we have any certainty as to what the harvest will be? That is, inasmuch as we are sowing the seed and preaching the word to individuals, and we know not whether they are God or not God, we know not what the harvest can be. But now, let me give you another guarantee. I promise you that the spiritual harvest that you sow morally, by the life that you live, shall be a harvest that comes up, and not one grain that you have planted will fail to bear fruit. You say, how is that? Because the spiritual law of sowing and reaping, according to Galatians 6, is a harvest that is inevitable. It is absolutely certain. You say, it's certain? Yes, unless you want to mock God. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So think of the life that you have lived, whether as a Christian or whether as a sinner, whatever you have sown, that you're going to reap. It says, if you have sown to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. And if you have sown to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. You say, so there is another harvest? Yes. It is the harvest that is being sown by the word you speak, by the thought you think, by the action that you perform among the sons of men. And if you listen carefully to the portions that I read to you, all of these things I've told you about have been covered. If you can remember them, and if not, perhaps you can get a tape sometime and see all of these scriptures, and it tells about all of these things, whereas some men think that they are going to escape this moral, spiritual harvest, but God says, you are not going to escape it. Now, if you will listen carefully, you will understand that many areas were covered that were under the control of the spiritual harvest. It speaks of Babylon as a nation, an evil nation. It said there was a harvest for Babylon. But it also mentioned the nation of Israel. It mentioned the northern kingdom, Ephraim, and the southern kingdom, Judah. It mentions the southern kingdom, Judah. So think for a moment concerning this. It means that evil kingdoms reap what they sow, and chosen nations reap what they sow. You say, but certainly a nation like Israel, that is chosen of God, they will not reap corruption if they sow to the flesh. God said it makes no difference whether it's Babylon or whether it's my own chosen people. Listen to how he puts it. He says, Judah, there is a harvest waiting for you. You see, Judah, that section of Israel where the temple was, where the religious worship was concentrated, they thought they would be exempt. But God said to them, Judah, I want you to understand that a harvest is waiting for you. Now, let me show you the next step. You find that nationally, a harvest is promised, and you will find that sectionally, a harvest is promised. Why? Because here you have the nation of Israel divided into sections. The northern section, the southern section. And then also you will find that a harvest is promised according to cities. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in thee which were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would remain unto this day. It shall be more tolerable in the day of judgment for them than for thee. And thou, Capernaum, shalt thou be exalted to heaven? So here are cities, and God picks out cities among the nations. So think now. You have nations, you have sections of those nations, you have cities in those sections, and also we have individuals. That is the thing. It says concerning men as individuals, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Notice, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So God has his eye upon nations, upon sections of nations, upon cities, and he has his eye upon individuals. And God says, there is a harvest for every one of you, and that harvest is in heaven. Now, understand that the harvest in the spiritual realm is reaped twice. Sometimes twice in a man's life. It is reaped sometimes in this world, and sometimes it's not reaped until the next world. Sometimes it's reaped in both worlds. And I want you to see that. Turn to Mark chapter 10. This is so important. I want you to see that sometimes a harvest is reaped in two worlds. Mark chapter 10, and look at verse 28. Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus said unto them, said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. You see, now in this time, and in the world to come. So there is a harvest that is to be reaped at a twofold time. Sometimes it's in this world, but I discovered that sometimes it is not in this world. I shan't give you other scriptures concerning that now, but understand that some people live a life of sin, and they laugh because they go through life like that rich young ruler did. Not the rich young ruler alone, but that rich man in Luke chapter 16. It said he fared sumptuously every day, his clothes were glorious that he wore, and all of this went on his whole life long. And it said he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, seeing his torment. So you say, well, his harvest didn't come until the next world. That's right. But some people have harvest in this world and in the next world. I'll tell you about two of them. They that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. There was a man named Samson in the Old Testament. And his whole life was one of sowing the flesh. Every time you read about him, there was some woman that he was lusting after. And so he sowed to the flesh. But the time came when Delilah was talking to him, and she tricked him to a degree into giving away his secret as to wherein his great strength lay. And he told her his secret. And then he was shorn, and his strength went from him. And the Philistines came in and bound him and put out his eyes and attached him as a beast of burden to the grist mill. He was walking round and round and round in his blindness. And so Samson sowed to the flesh in this life, and he reaped of the flesh corruption in this life. And that is what can happen to us. You realize that there are some servants of God who have sinned against God, and it breaks my heart to think right now. Two of them come to mind. They sow to the flesh, and they have reaped, and their lives and their ministries of God have been destroyed. But there was another harvest coming for them in the next world as well. Listen to this. It says, It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And concerning those that are genuinely saved, the judgment seat of Christ is for them. And for those that are lost, whether they receive a harvest of the flesh in this life, if they miss it down here, it says that the author of Revelation looked, and he saw a great white throne, and multitudes were gathered before that throne, and the books were open, and everything that men had ever done, all these things were written in these books, and it said they were judged according to what was written in that book. So if you're saved, you'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? It says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And so do not think, O child of God, that because you're saved, God will never look over what you've done in your life. It says, whether it be good or bad. And O sinner, if somehow God has withheld his wrath from you in this life, do not think that when you go to the end of your days and you close your eyes and leave this world, that you've escaped the harvest. because it says a harvest awaited for people. And let me give you this encouragement, child of God. Our Savior says in the Gospel of Luke, and if your Bible is open, you may look at it. Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 12. And he said to him also that it didn't him, when you make a feast or a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor rich neighbors, lest by chance they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest the feast, bid the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, because they have not wherewith to recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. You see? There's some things that you do in this world that are good. And I fed the hungry, and I clothed the naked. I showed kindness to those that were brokenhearted, and I received no reward for it. The Lord Jesus said, do not worry about it. He said, you shall receive your harvest. You shall reap it in the resurrection of the just. So what have we found? We have found that there is a spiritual sowing and reaping according to the life that a man lives, just as certainly as a farmer goes out in his field and sows seed. And tell me, are you so foolish? If a farmer goes and sows wheat, if the seed come up, what is going to come up? You say, wheat. Yes. Now, if an enemy comes and sows tares, they come up. But the farmer did not sow those tares. When he sowed wheat, wheat came up. And if he planted an olive tree came up. Well, why is it that you think in the spiritual realm that you can go and sow lies and deceit and lewdness and sexual sin? How do you think that you can sow all of that and something beautiful and spiritual and holy shall come out of it? Can you not see the contradiction of that? It says, if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. And yes, I'm sad for all of those that have AIDS and all of those whose lives have been ruined by alcohol and all of those whose lives have been ruined because they were promiscuous and were not controlling themselves when it came to evil suggestions offered by others. I'm sad. But I see that God had told you in advance that if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. And you look at the young people today, and you look at the old people today, and you will discover that some of them, even now, their health is ruined because of sin that they have indulged in. And not only that, but their lives, their families are ruined, their children are ruined. Why? Because they of the flesh sow to the flesh, and of the flesh they reap corruption. And so how can anyone who knows the laws of physical sowing, the laws of botany, that they sow wheat, do they expect some other grain to be produced? If they sow barley, if they sow olive, if they plant a vine, what is going to come up? You say grapes and olives and wheat and barley. And if you sow drugs and sex and lies and deceit, what do you think you're going to reap in your life? The opposite? You say no. If there are any spiritual laws like those physical laws that a farmer understands, then whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And this is what God wants us to know. And no matter what the world then tells you, no matter what the psychiatrists tell you today, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And some reap it so early in life. And some reap it later in life. And some escape it entirely in this life. But when they stand before the great white throne, the books are going to be opened. And this is what is so sad. Every thought of hate, every unkind deed, every lie, all of it has been recorded, and it shall determine the place that you have in hell. Not everybody is going to have the same place in hell. All those that have never trusted Christ, they shall be in hell. But according to the sins that they committed in their lifetime, their part shall be in the lake of fire. And child of God, do not think that just because you trusted Christ as Savior, you're going to have the same blessing in heaven that every other child of God did. God has crowns to give to His who have been obedient. God has cities over which those that have been obedient to Him shall reign. Do not think that all of us, when we get to heaven, we shall be equal. It says, what we have sown, we shall reap. And the Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. And not to me only, but also to all them that have loved His appearing. So it makes no difference who you are. It makes no difference what nation it is. What they reap, they shall sow. Sometimes in this life, sometimes in the next life. Sometimes in this life and the next life. So take this to heart and be careful. You shall give an account of every idle word that you speak, every evil act that you do. And you are planting seeds every day of your life. And the harvest is inevitable. And you are going to reap it. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, forgive us for being so foolish, for having shown us so plainly about the things that grow and about the spiritual realm and the moral things associated with man. Help us to understand that you are not mocked. People can laugh at you and deny you, but you are not mocked. And you have said, whatsoever man shall sow, that shall he also reap. And some have already experienced it in their lives. They've looked at their lives, they've looked at their children, they've looked at their careers, and they have seen it, O God. And we are thankful that having seen it early in life, perhaps they shall see that there is another harvest in the next world, and they can trust Christ, the Savior. So help those that are lost to see, and help us that are Christians to see. And let us sow seeds of kindness and love and good deeds to our fellow man. Let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. And then, Father, let us in that coming day lift up our eyes and see that bountiful harvest of good things that we sowed in this life and that we shall reap in the next. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.